masterpieces, universally reviewed to be perfection. The Sistine Chapel, Ken Griffey Jr. swing, Cardi B at the Grammys, and the yet-to-be-filled-out brackets. Take it in. Be the brackets with this paddle. Let's go.
I thought you were going to say the masterpiece of Woody's outfit. Because, man, that is there.
Megan, I found it.
Your bracket versus this panel's bracket. The bold and the beautiful. Mute awful? Mute awful, yes. Go to ESPN.com, enter the Around the Horn group, claim your glory. We got more March than John Philip Sousa. Let's go. First word, Gonzaga. The overall number one, as one is when you're undefeated going in, trying to be the first undefeated in 45 years to win it all. Baylor got bounced in the Big 12, but rock solid number one in the South. And then the Big Teners, surging Illinois and Juwan Howard's Michigan. They round out the ones. So start with those ones. Frank Isola, around the horn to you. What path looks easiest? What path looks hardest?
Well, to be fair, we should start with the defending champs, Virginia. They have a COVID issue, plus they're in the same bracket as Gonzaga. But it's going to be Michigan. And the coach by Juwan Howard has done a great job. And as Izzy will tell you, he has a PhD in heat culture, I think they like to call that. He's a terrific coach, but they lost Isaiah Livers out indefinitely with a foot injury. Plus, for them, they could end in the second round. You get either LSU, St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure, watch out for them. They start five juniors. Florida State's in that bracket. Alabama. Michigan has got the toughest draw for a one seed.
Okay. The hardest path is what Michigan has in front of you. Did you have an easiest path for a number one seed, Frank?
Gonzaga, that would be the one, I think, because Kansas and Virginia both have some COVID issues, and let's face it, they are the best.
Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, I'm agreement in with the Gonzaga being the easiest bracket. If you look at it, I mean, the 3 and 4 seeds have the COVID issues, and you've got number 4 seed Iowa there, who, a little sneak preview, I have losing in the first round to Grand Canyon. So I do think if you've got, yeah, if you're sticking with Gonzaga, the undefeated team, you're looking pretty good.
Right there.
Yeah,
down.
We'll get that in a little bit. Okay. But yeah, I think Michigan, it's pretty clear that they, you know, slipping up a little bit in that Big Ten tournament and not being able to really claim that number one overall seed. They have a really tough one there. They have a couple of teams there, the 3 and 4s that, or the 2 and 3s that won their conference tournament and seem to be on a roll there. So I'd say Michigan probably has the most difficult path of the four.
Woody Page, let me take you in for a second. We didn't talk about what we were doing before the show today. This is incredibly, the Kings of Flatbush here. What are we doing? Go ahead.
Well, those
it's
guys
all yours.
Are missing. Yeah. Well, let me give you the easiest by far is Gonzaga. You've got to believe that. However, Gonzaga has the hardest path because it depends on whatever happens with Kansas and Virginia. So, I mean, you can't even think about the other brackets, although I would tell you that Baylor, I think, really does have the easiest path, and nobody's talking about that because they're playing ESPNU. Is that Hartford, I think? They're playing people like Florida. Really? Is anybody going to stop Baylor on the way to the Final Four?
This has been a tour de force from Woody Page. So let me get this straight. The easiest path for number one is Gonzaga. And the hardest path for number one is Gonzaga.
It's Gonzaga.
Because everything going on with Virginia,
we don't know what's going to
happen.
You know
what? Yeah. I think you just talked me into that. Clinton Yates, how about you?
Woody Page takes off the suit and Norm sound, all of a sudden he's making sense sounding like a normal person. That Gonzaga point is right. But the reason why they're going to have the easiest path is because, like Beyonce at the Grammys, they have been dominating the entire time. It doesn't matter who you put in front of Gonzaga, they are going to get to the Final Four. The hardest path in that case, however, for me, is Illinois. Illinois' tournament history is not great, which for whatever reason, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, this actually affects schools, even if it's not necessarily the same teams. West Virginia's in that bracket. Tennessee, one of my favorite teams in the country, is in that bracket as well. And they've got an awkward potential local matchup with Loyola in the second round. So I think Illinois's got a tricky path to get there overall.
Illinois.
But yeah, Gonzaga's the best team. That's why.
After everything you saw the Illini do in the last 3 weeks or so, Frank Isola, you want to go back in there?
Correct.
Go ahead.
All right. I know. Clinton's talking about their history. What does Brad Underwood and this team have to do with Lou Henson and the players that he had way back when? Think about how they did in the Big Ten tournament. They've been a terrific team all season long. They won the regular season. They won the Big Ten. They deserve to be a number one seed. They will be difficult to knock out. It'll be Gonzaga, Illinois in the final. There you go.
Yates, you want back in? Please go ahead.
I'm not saying Illinois is a bad team. I'm saying they have the hardest path. Those are two separate matters as a result of the other teams in the bracket.
You said history.
Woody Page, you want a last word here before we move on? Go ahead.
Yes, just keep in mind that it's been 6 years since a number one overall seed has gotten to the Final Four, and it's been 8 years since a number one overall seed has actually won the tournament. So that's why, one of the reasons that Gonzaga has a tough path.
The man puts on a leather jacket, and everything starts making sense for him.
Leather. This is,
you know what? It's the expression, dress for the job you want. You want my job. That's what you want, Woody Page. Wow, you're hammering it today.
That's the last job.
How tight are your pants?
The first bracket ever with replacement teams. Let's talk about that. The last four in by the committee, Drake and Wichita State and UCLA and Michigan State. And the last four out, Louisville, Colorado State, St. Louis, and Mississippi. So with the position Kansas and Virginia find themselves in right now with positive tests, and who knows what might happen with testing this week, I'll give anybody 20 points right now if they can explain exactly what the plan is for replacement teams to come in. Go ahead, Clinton Yates, please.
The plan is to try to have these four teams available, but if something happens with the conference still gets represented, and then the conference picks who goes from that conference
to the tournament.
It is as confusing as it sounds, and that is not a good thing overall. I don't know, man. This is a very unfortunate situation, too, because it feels like Louisville overall probably got snubbed, and to think that they're just going to have to sit around and wait, I don't like what this means for student-athletes. They've done so much work to get to this position at this point of the year that it's going to be a very difficult situation, even if those teams do get in to try to win a game. I just hope everybody can get this through safely in Indiana.
Woody Page?
Yeah, I think under the circumstances, it was a good idea, but the NCAA, as it usually does, complicated it so much that nobody can understand exactly how it's going to go. Why didn't you just seed those four teams and say, okay, you're first. If there's a problem, you would be second, third, and fourth. I mean, it looks like now that you could say, okay, if you're associated with the Mississippi River, you get to be in the tournament if somebody is out because of COVID. So that would put in St. Louis and the University of Mississippi. So, I mean, make it simple. Don't make it this hard.
Israel Gutierrez.
It's kind of like when people ask me about the scoring on this show.
What are you suggesting?
I can't really explain it to them. You just gotta like listen and pay attention, and it'll all make sense in the long run. Look, I think it's unfair. It's more unfair for the first four out than ever, because you have to not only prepare yourself as if you're potentially going to play, take COVID tests every day, but you have to be cheering, right? You have to be cheering for another team to get so sick that they can't play, and then you're going to change, you know, everything and get to the tournament and probably not even win a game. So I think for those four teams, it's entirely unfair, but you have to have some sort of system.
Greg Isola.
You know, a conference that has only one bid, if that team is knocked out, believe it or not, the conference decides who makes it. So do they base it on the team that finished runner-up in the conference final? Do you pick the team that maybe won the regular season but didn't make it to the conference final? That is
really overall,
confusing.
Frank.
But I will say this.
Go ahead.
In a year of COVID, part of you has to hope that Louisville gets in and makes an incredible run. A team that wasn't going to be in it and somehow makes it to the final. That'd be pretty
cool. Overall, how did the committee do on the back end with the bracket?
I think for the most part they did pretty well. I think the teams that deserve to be in for the most part got in. You can make a case for Belmont. They had a great season, not in.
You know who did the best job? Greg Gumbel, trying to explain it, because you could almost see, like, as he was saying it, you could see all the algorithms in his head. Am I explaining this correctly? It's complicated, but we'll see how necessary it is. UMBC over Virginia was just two tournaments ago. A 15 over 2 has happened 8 times. Could this year, in the season we just have, and all the uncertainty, make it more prone to happen in this tournament? That's the question I'm asking you, Woody. Why I say, tell us who one or two of your sleepers are on your bracket.
Well, I'll tell you what is not sleeping, and that's a 16 seed this year. There is no chance for any of those teams to actually make it. But I'm going to give you the darlings of 2018. How about Loyola of Chicago? People remember them and what went on and how they advanced to the Final Four. Guess who's back? They've got Krupwig, who was a freshman on that team, but they got Sister Jane. She's going to be back on the bench. And I think that Loyola Chicago is going to have the same kind of run that they had in 2018.
I'll say that. That was your Memphis accent made Sister Jean to Sister Jane a little bit. I'll allow it. Anybody else, Woody Page?
Oh, sure. There are going to be a ton of upsets because of what we've
But not a 16 over a 1. You're on the record with that. Israel Gutierrez,
no 15,
you're tantalizing 15. Us with the pick that you had, a 15 over 2. Go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely think of all years for upsets. I mean, this is the tournament that we know for upsets, and I do think there will be more. I've read, you know, some tweets of people in the know who would say, yeah, this is going to be kind of a nutty tournament. But I've got a 15 over 2. It's Grand Canyon over Iowa. And Grand Canyon, they have these twin towers inside as Asgard. No, wait, nope.
Uh-oh. All right. They've got two big men to go up against Garza, is what you're telling. You know what? I'll allow you not to know the entire roster of Grand Canyon at the moment, but it is kind of a little bit suspect that you don't know the players of the team.
Asbjorn Midtgard is his name, and he's a twin tower alongside another big man, and they go inside, outside. They can, you know, they can sort of, with Luka Garza, they can defend him. They can give him trouble on the inside. I think they can beat Iowa. Of course, they've got Gonzaga some point down the road after that, but I do think they can beat Iowa and be a little bit of a darling in that.
Frank Isola, how about you?
And Grand Canyon's coach is Bryce Drew. When he played at Valpo, he had a couple of upset games when he was a college player. You know what? What's interesting about a team like St. Bonaventure, I mentioned before, they have an experienced roster. If they get by LSU, they could knock off Michigan. So look out for Adrian Wojnarowski University in the tournament. They could be a dangerous
Clinton
team.
Clinton Yates.
So now Bryce Drew has something to do with history and who's going to win of some other college or something that happened 20 years ago. Frank, what kind of sense does that make?
That.
Anyway, the team that I'm rooting for are the Hartford Hawks from the America East. Why? Because West Hartford, where they're located, is my favorite place in the entire state. Lovely town, lovely golf courses, tremendous restaurants. I want to see West Hartford do well.
I don't know if the restaurants are going to factor into the bracket as well. Last word, I want to be on Frank Isola. You covered Patrick Ewing as a player for the majority of his career. The run Georgetown went on to make this tournament, it's just an incredible run. Please, take some time.
Yeah, and you think about the coaches that Patrick's been around his entire life. Mike Jarvis was his high school coach. John Thompson, his college coach. Pat Riley, Rick Pitino, we just saw that getting in with Iona. Jeff Van Gundy. How can you not be happy for Patrick and to do it in that building? The big fella, as they say, number 33.
Right, to do it in that building. Just a shocker that he was allowed in past security. Clinton Yates on Patrick Ewing. I know.
On top of that, this was a great win for a lot of the Hoyas alumni. I talked to Alonzo Mourning, Mark Tillman, old guys from the program who were happy to see this for Pat. Bring something back to the program and restore a little bit of that respectability.
One of the great stories of March. March gives us the greatest stories. We're taking a break right here. Woody Page, Grease Lightning today in the lead. Go to Dubai yourself.
As you are.
Yeah, I had to come and shred dollars.
Big man on campus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Drew Brees retiring, not a surprise. It was reported seconds after the loss in the playoffs. His ascension to the booth also was well known. He'll be with NBC next year. His place among the all-time greats, kind of undisputed. Look at these numbers. First in yards, second in touchdowns, fifth in passer rating. Frank Isola, around the horn to you. Are you buying Drew Brees on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks?
You know, first of all, Tony, I think he might have retired when he broke those 11 ribs. He and his wife probably said, you know what? Enough with the NFL. I love this part of the program. The guy had a great career. Now we're going to tell you who you're not better than. You're not better than Brady, Montana, Manning, Elway, even Dan Marino. But the guy had a great career, did so much for that city. Congratulations in retirement.
I thought I was asking you who he was better than. You just told me he's not better than those guys. All right. How about you, Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, if we're talking to Mount Rushmore, no, despite the numbers, because, you know, if you look and like Frank said, basically, if you pick a quarterback to win you a game, you're going to pick a few more guys, a few more of the greats ahead of Drew Brees. I think Frank what's said. Sort of perfect about Drew Brees is the marriage with him and Sean Payton, not only with Sean Payton as such an offensive mind, but even something as little as just being on turf that isn't that stretch of his career and just having a really effective offense and just coming in or playing at a time where offenses were passing offenses were just, you know, exploding. And so I think it was a perfect situation for him once he left San Diego, and he obviously
you
made the most.
You just give an asterisk because he plays on turf, Israel?
No. As a bonus, not an asterisk. Okay. It's just a bonus.
What is the legacy of Drew Brees, Woody Page? You guys are all needling me here. What is the legacy of the great Drew Brees?
I just first want to say I just love Israel talking about national landmarks. He goes from Grand Canyon to talking about Mount Rushmore. What's next? The Golden Gate Bridge, Israel? You're going to talk about that? I just think that he is on the Mount Passmore, not Mount Rushmore.
Okay, hold on a second. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Mount Passmore from Woody Page.
I don't hate it.
Woody?
Passmore.
You survived, Woody. Let's go. The legacy, please, give it to me. Give it to me, the legacy of Brees.
80,358 yards. I think you belong on some kind of statue somewhere, so I'm giving him that. What he accomplished in New Orleans, bring the Saints back, getting them a Super Bowl victory, and being there when they needed him after Katrina.
Clinton Yates, the legacy of Mr. Brees.
Of all the lists that he ranks the top at, the fact that James Andrews said that he was his best surgery is still the most incredible thing in terms of the number ones. But the bottom line is this. Here's what Drew Brees is. He's the face of the New Orleans Saints when that city came back after Katrina and with one of the most electric seasons the NFL has ever seen. He's a local legend in a very real right for one of the most incredible cities this nation has. That, to me, is excellent on its own accord.
The position the Saints find themselves in right now, Jameis Winston is a free agent. All reports are they're looking to sign him. Taysom Hill is the one quarterback signed right now in the reworking of his deal, so it's a four-year, $140 million extension after this year. While totally voidable, is totally fascinating. What are the Saints doing here, Clinton, and what are the Saints to do?
I think the Saints are trying to prove to themselves that keeping this guy around for this long was worth it. But if you're Jameis, you got to be licking your chops. And not just because that's a weird thing to do to try to motivate your team, because you've got a shot here, and they're obviously willing to spend money on somebody to run that squad down there for the
season. Woody Page?
No, I don't believe that. I think the proper move that you make there is you go out and get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Everybody would feel kind of the same that you got an old quarterback that's leading you, and he'd fit in perfectly there. I think it's time for Winston to move on to somewhere else, actually.
Israel Gutierrez?
This feels like a heck of a heat check from Sean Payton here. It's like, hey, I did some things with Drew Brees, and now I'm going to turn this 30-year-old and don't really have a backup for him right now. And if he does pretty good, we're going to pay him a lot of money for the next couple of years. We're going to find out whether Sean Payton is this real quarterback creator or if, you know, maybe we have some question marks here with Taysom.
Right, guys, solo.
And I think that's why Jameis ended up there in the first place. They must have told him there's a good chance Drew Brees is going to retire after the season. Come in here, let's take a look at you, we'll see what we like, and maybe you'll stay.
I mean, those numbers.
So I think they knew what they were doing. He'll be the
on the Taysom Hill are just jaw-dropping. I mean, they're right there with Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott. But then you read it, it's all voidable, and then you think this was just a loophole to get past the salary cap, wasn't it? This is just All right. Clinton Yates, Israel Gutierrez.
Delroy Lindo like snub in the showdown, just saying.
The two twin towers of this team, Abjorn Midgard. Israel Gutierrez. Paige Isola. Showdown next.
I left the field today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 22 pitch at bat Luis Guillorme had in a spring training game. At what point does too much become too much, Woody Page? And should there be a cap on a pitch at bat in spring training?
I'm going to spring training starting tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to something like this. Imagine you could go to this concession stand, get a beer, come back, and not miss anything that happened in that at bat.
Frank?
That leather jacket is too much. Hey, I'd rather watch the Mets celebrate winning Game 7 of the World Series, getting the final out, than watch that. The story has a happy ending. His next at-bat, he swung at the first pitch and lined out.
All right. So
smart.
22-pitch at-bat in spring training. Does anybody know the total time it took on the clock?
11 minutes.
Cut it now. It's too long.
You're exactly right, Woody Page. You read the research. There you go. Showdown 2, if you want more action in at-bat, may I direct you to Darren O'Day versus Tony Walter. Strike 3 and hit by a pitch. Is this more a hit by a pitch or a strikeout here, Frank?
That is a definite strikeout. And by the way, Michael Kay and John Sterling are calling the game on yes. The old radio team from the Yankees from 20 years ago, Tony.
Frank,
you listening.
I mean, the guy's been hit in that area, and you want to call it a strikeout? He at least should get the opportunity to go to first base.
He swung and missed.
Pitch. It hit him. What else do you want?
Swung and missed.
All right.
Swung and missed.
Woody, you're looking so good today, and that score all day was great. Oh, let me look at your Twitter account. Oh, Saturday night you said there was no snowstorm in Denver. Oh, that's great. Wait a second. You got 27 inches the next day. Ice cold take from Woody Page. Ice cold take. Frank Isola, take the FaceTime.
Plus, you never wear leather when it's snowing outside, number one. I want to take you across the pond. Did you get a chance to see this goal by Eric Lamella of Tottenham Hotspur? They call it a Rabona. Usually on the training ground, you'll see kids try this all the time. When they chip it like that, the ball usually goes in the air. He hit it hard on the ground and in the goal. What a wonder goal that was. By the way, later on, got red carded from the game. And Arsenal won. Happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's only got 1 foot. I mean, sticking with the left, he's not going right.
Right.
Woody Page, show us the blackboard. You want to tell us something? Go ahead.
Yeah. Be sure to join our bracket challenge. Every year we give out an authentic blackboard, and I will sign it and send it to your address.
You smudged it, Woody.
Just exactly
Woody
like
smudged
this.
It.
I'd rather have the jacket. I want the jacket.